For most of my life, I had no idea that my body, my pleasure, my sensuality, my eroticism are my own. I had no idea that I had the right to my own body. I had no idea that my pleasure and my turn on and my arousal are sacred and are, in fact, healing modalities. And so for most of my life, I lived from the head up, completely disconnected from my sensations and my body because it didn't feel safe to go there. And if you're anything like me and you have this desire to live a life that is embodied, that is pleasurable, that is connected, that is liberated in your true authentic expression and experiencing deeper levels of intimacy with yourself, with the world, and with the people around you, then I have something very special for you. And I would love to invite you to join us on March 10th in New York City, if you're in the area, for an in-person one-day retreat. This is an intensive called Foundations of Full Body Pleasure, Awakening the Sensuous Self. And this is for you if you want to expand your capacity for exquisite, delicious pleasure, audacious sensuality, deepened self-love and self-connection, and soul-level intimacy by establishing an embodied sense of inner safety, connection, and trust. This one-day intensive is a radical celebration and reclamation of your sensuous, erotic self and your body. Together in community, we're going to learn how to use our built-in tools of breath, sound, movement, touch, and awareness to cultivate within ourselves all of the things that we're subconsciously grasping for externally. We're going to harness that from within so you can unleash your sensual nature, claim your true desires, voice your boundaries and your yes and your no, and begin to rewire your nervous system to associate your pleasure, sexuality, and intimacy with a sense of safety, love, celebration, and belonging. This immersion is a training ground for how you most want to show up throughout your whole life, your intimacy, and your relationships. This transformative event is happening on the Pisces super new moon, and I cannot be more excited. So if you want to join us, you can head to the show notes and you'll find the link there, or you can go directly to bloomwithnadine.com/events to claim your ticket now. Also, a heads up, that super early bird pricing ends on January 31st. So if you know that you want to experience this and you want to lock in the lowest pricing, I highly suggest getting your ticket before then. I hope to see you inside. Welcome to The Sensuous, a radical celebration of your inner sensuous creature, your feeling, humming, dancing essence that's throbbing with creative impulse, orgasmic sensitivity, intuitive wisdom, and primal wildness. The part of you that perceives with the whole of your body and is interconnected with all that is. The one who's here to not only live, but be alive. This podcast invites you to re-experience yourself as a vital organ of the greater animate world, relating to your eroticism, pleasure, emotions, and full spectrum humanness as gateways to your own divinity. I'm your guide, Nadine Hamilton, seasoned sexuality coach, somatic practitioner, intimacy educator, and lifelong student. Join me and my guests as we explore the sacred and the profane through a somatic lens, unraveling all things sex, power, mysticism, healing, and conscious relating. This is the call of the sensuous. Do you feel it? Hi, my loves. Welcome to another episode. I'm so excited and honored to have you here listening to The Sensuous. This week, I have another solo episode for you, and it's so fucking good. This is a recording of a pretty recent live stream that I did, and it's all about, I don't really love this word, but I'm going to use it anyways, hacking your brain and your nervous system to work for your benefit and to start to feel safe and secure and confident when expressing your full, authentic, loving, liberated self, which of course is a lifelong journey and practice. You'll also learn about the neuroscience behind expansion and growth, how to actually create new neural pathways, what is trauma, and how what we fear the most is also what we desire the most, and what we desire the most tends to be what we fear the most. You'll hear about how to practically rewire your belief systems and your sense of self, how every single moment is an invitation into either power expansion and becoming more energized, or disempowerment, contraction, and depletion, as well as how to access the ancient, deep, profound, untouchable wisdom of your core essence, heal your relationship with your emotions, integrate and become more aware of your childhood imprinting, and letting go of how your love is being received on the other end, and instead just being loving because it's your real, raw, authentic truth and because it feels good. So how to feel satisfied and fulfilled and nourished simply through the experience and the act of loving because it's the true essence of who you are, instead of being so attached to how it's received and what happens on the other side. I also give a really deep dive explanation of a process, and I guess you could call it a modality, called memory reconsolidation that is one of my favorites to work with. And I explain how if you view different identities and different aspects of yourself as tables, in which the top of the table is your identity and your current belief systems and your current worldview and outlook on life, and the legs of the tables are different memories and experiences that shape those identities and belief systems and hold them up and reinforce them, and taught you to believe in these stories and meaning makings about yourself, and therefore erect this false table within you. So I talk about how memory reconsolidation is to go back to those memories, so each leg of the table in this metaphor, and rewire your story and your perception of what happened there in those memories. So it's not changing the actual memory itself, but rather it's shifting who you were in that memory, how you held yourself and related to the situation, and how you perceived what was actually happening, and your relationship to the memory to one that is really empowered and secure. So when you rewire each leg of the table and you knock it down, the table starts to collapse and it impacts all future memories that you then had that were influenced by that original core memory. So you then have a completely new table that is erected from empowerment and alignment with your true essence, rather than a false mask out of feelings of fear, shame, guilt, and disempowerment. I love this topic so much, and I'm excited for you to hear more about it. And finally, before we dive into the episode, I want to mention that it makes such a huge difference if you take just a moment to leave a rating and a written review on Spotify and or Apple Podcasts. If you feel like you've been getting anything out of The Sensuous and you've been benefiting in any way from this content, this is one of the best and easiest ways that you can give back to the show. It really makes a difference, and it helps to spread the word about these topics and conversations and keeps the show up and running. So thank you so much in advance for your contribution by leaving a review and a rating. And without further ado, here is today's episode of The Sensuous. Enjoy.
Trauma and disempowering experiences that we navigate in our lives, like the thing that stays with us, the thing that impacts us, is how we've related to it in that moment. How we were or were not able to digest it and process it through our system. So trauma is when something happens that is too much, too fast, too soon, too overwhelming, and we didn't have the resources or the time to like fully digest it and process it. Or maybe we were going through it alone and there was no one there to witness us with loving presence or hold us or validate our experience. And so trauma is not the event or the experience that you went through. It's how that experience was then encoded in your system, in your body, in your subconscious, in your unconscious, in your nervous system. And it's how it, yeah, is coded within you and stays with you going forward and impacts your future experiences, your belief systems, your mental constructs, your sense of self and identity, your inner sense of security and safety. And a lot of us think that the things that happen to us are just the things that happen to us. What's really interesting is that memory, operates very differently than how most of us were taught. A lot of us were taught that memory is just like an exact replica database of things that happened to us. And it's just us storing facts in our mind. And that's not true. Every single time we revisit a memory, the memory is inherently shifting and changing depending on everything that we have experienced since that point. It's impacted by our current emotional state, our current belief systems, our current identity, our current sense of self. One of my teachers says, like, the best way to fully preserve a memory and keep it intact is to never think about it, because every time you think about it, you're changing it. And this is something that is incredibly useful when it comes to trauma healing and growth and empowerment and development. And something that I use quite a bit in my private coaching practice, including today in the session that I just had, is a process called memory reconsolidation, which is so witchy and psychedelic and magical and incredible. I'll describe it with a visual. So let's say, picture a table, and each leg of that table is a different memory, a different experience that we've gone through that imprinted us with a certain belief system, a certain challenge, or a certain like overcoupling of different associations and things that we make them mean something. So for example, let's say we have overcoupled the experience of being seen with the associated emotion of anxiety and fear and contraction and shame. That's an overcoupling. Like, the more experiences that we have that have proven that to be true, the more we start to believe it and identify as it, until unconsciously we can't even separate them. We can't even take them apart. They are so overcoupled, so over-associated, that we automatically associate being seen with being ostracized or feeling a lot of anxiety and shame. So let's say you have this table, and each leg of the table is a memory or experience that, when you went through that experience, it subconsciously was teaching you to be seen equals shame and fear and not belonging or being unlovable, any of these things. And then that creates the top of the table, which is everything that you now feel and experience and identify with. So maybe now you think you're this person who's really shy and really shut down and so terrified of being seen. Whereas when you were a little kid, for example, let's say you were so like theatrical and expressed. But again, you had all of these experiences that layered on top of each other again and again and again, that subtly, or not so subtly, showed you this is not safe. If I'm seen, I'm going to be humiliated, I'm going to be made fun of, I'm going to be ostracized, whatever the experience was. Another really common one is like being unlovable or thinking that there's something wrong with you. This is so common. I don't think a single human on this planet doesn't have at least a touch of that conditioning. So memory reconsolidation is when we choose a new emotional state, a new energy or quality or texture that we now want to feel, we desire to feel, in association with the thing that we want to be doing, but that we're so terrified of. And usually the thing that we desire the most is the thing that we fear the most, and the thing that we fear the most is the thing that we desire the most. So let's say you really want to be seen. You want to be expressed, you want to speak your truth, you want to be in your fullness, you want to be just raw and real and honest and authentic and expressed. I think at our core, so many of us feel this way because it's literally medicine. Like, your soul is here to experience full spectrum humanity and all of your fullness, all of your creativity and expression and relating and messiness and all of it. So let's say that currently you associate being seen with terror and a total lack of safety. So what we can do, and It's a lot easier to have someone guiding you through this, but you can do it yourself if you're trained in it, is pick a new emotion, a new emotional state, and then go back to the memory while staying rooted and anchored in this new vibrational state. So let's say when you want to be seen, you want to feel empowered, you want to feel excited, you want to feel joyful. And you can literally tap into that essence, those emotional qualities, and like copy and paste onto your past memories where you had experiences of associating being seen with terror and shame and being ostracized. And so pretty much, I mean, this is way oversimplifying the human experience, but for simplicity's sake, I'm just gonna say it, like, pretty much every experience that we go through, especially in childhood and early developmental years when we're so susceptible to conditioning and programming, like everything we go through, we are digesting that experience as either being empowering and expansive and nourishing and an invitation into the fullness of who we are, or an experience that we digest as disempowering and contracted and shame and fear and hiding and showing us that, oh, if I do this, then I'm not gonna receive love, or I'm gonna be unsafe, or I'm not gonna belong, or XYZ is gonna happen. So again, the more we have those experiences of disempowerment, 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 that starts to build on, and it's like you're wearing like 20 winter coats of these false selves of shame and fear and anxiety and disconnection. And if that's you, please don't shame yourself, because all of those layers of protection are coming from such a pure place of love. Like your inner ecosystem, your mental, psychological, emotional, immune system, which is a thing, loves you and wants to protect you so badly that it's creating this huge shield to prevent you from feeling the thing that at one point was way too big and painful and scary to feel. And now, as adults, we get to take the steps over the duration of a lifetime to show ourselves that we're no longer children, and we now have the capacity and the resources and the capability to feel the unfelt and to recognize that our true self, our core self, is this wise, loving, ancient, eternal, untouchable essence, this presence, this consciousness within us that is bigger than anything we could ever imagine. It is infinite. That is like our essence. And all of these different thoughts and emotions and identities and experiences, those are all our little parts, all our little human selves that we, a lot of the times, we get sucked into, we get caught up in them, and we identify as them, we attach onto them, and we convince ourselves that, oh, I'm feeling anxiety, I am anxiety. I feel fear, I am fear. I'm feeling depressed, I am depressed. Instead of recognizing it for what it is, which is an inherently impermanent energy, quality, experience, fractal of the universe that is moving through us. It's not you. So the more we can reconnect with that inner sense of like grounded, stable, secure, just pure consciousness, this ancient love, loving, wise soul within you, like the more you reconnect with that, then when all of these different inevitable human things come up, like the stress and the fear and the anxiety and the depression, we're much less likely to get sucked into it, and rather we're in relationship with it. We're able to see it because we're not so in it. When we're so drowning in something, we can't even see it. We're blind to it. So that's why meditation and embodiment practices and tantra and breathwork, all these different practices are so powerful, because it puts you back in the driver's seat of your life and it reminds you that you are not the things that you're experiencing. You are the consciousness beneath and among and in between it all. And that's when all the craziness of life feels like it's passing through you. And it starts to feel like a game. It starts to feel playful because it's like, oh, this is interesting. I'm genuinely curious and open to learning more about this rage that's coming up inside of me or this trigger. How interesting. Like, I can genuinely say that now when I'm triggered, when I'm stressed, when I'm frustrated, I have such a deep-rooted sense of curiosity that I'm like, whoa, this is like pretty fucking cool that I get to have this human experience right now and I get to witness it. Like, it is so, especially as someone who like facilitates other people through this, I feel like this scientist or this detective, and I'm just like, whoa, this is fucking cool. Like, yes, I'm feeling the rage, I'm feeling whatever is passing through me, and also I have this zoomed out perspective. So the point that I really wanted to make clear in this live is that just because you've had really painful experiences or even traumatic experiences, even though you feel like you have a lot of wounding or conditioning or fear or shame, first of all, congratulations, that means you're a fucking human. Every single person on this planet has at least some fear or shame or guilt or whatever inside of them. All of us have it. You are not alone. We all have judgment. We all have all of these things that we've been taught to be ashamed of. And also, you have the power and the ability to not allow those disempowering or painful experiences to define you or your future and your destiny. So again, back to the practice of memory reconsolidation, which I'm obsessed with. It's so powerful. When you go back to these memories and you imprint them with this new feeling of empowerment and expansion or whatever emotion you want to feel going forward, then that memory, let's say it's over here in the timeline of your life, it impacted all of these different future memories. So if you go back to this memory and you re-imprint it with a new quality, a new texture, a new flavor, a new emotion, that is going to like ripple out and impact all of those future memories that you have, including your future. So back to the example of having this desire to now associate being seen and heard and expressed with a sense of joy and excitement and empowerment, confidence, expansion. Like, if you go back to that memory and imprint it with these new qualities, now going forward, like, the more you do that, you're gonna start to feel less and less and less of that previous activation and charge that you felt around the memory and you felt around the experience of being seen. And it feels really weird and trippy, especially at first, because if you've gone like almost an entire lifetime feeling so much shame and fear and shutdown around doing something, it's so unconscious. We're not even fully aware of how much we have identified with that. That has become our comfort zone. That's become our sense of safety and familiarity, this state of contraction and shutdown and fear, even though consciously we say we don't want that thing. So when you start to like peel those layers back and imprint those previous memories with a sense of expansion and empowerment, it feels, sometimes it can feel like almost a little, I don't want to say scary, but it just feels like the unknown. It feels very unfamiliar because you're like, whoa, you're not used to feeling seen and confident and expanded at the same time. That neural pathway was not established previously. Your neurons have different neural pathways that connect certain experiences with certain emotions. And every time that happens, it's like deepening the road between those neurons, that neural pathway, deeper and deeper and deeper into your psyche until you just perceive reality that way and you think, oh, this is just how things are. This is just who I am. This is just how things are, how life works. So when you create new neural pathways, it's like, whoa, I haven't traveled down this road before. This feels a little funky. And then the more you do it again and again and again, that new road, the road of empowerment and expansion and security and groundedness and confidence and joy, that starts to become your new norm. And I really want to stress here that this takes time. This takes patience. And it is not at all a journey of perfection or ascending beyond your humanness, because that's not a thing. I don't care what people on Instagram are telling you, that's not a thing. I believe, at least at this current chapter of my life, that no matter how much work we do on ourselves, no matter how much healing or therapy or plant medicine ceremonies, like, we can't escape our humanness. And honestly, if you're getting really real with yourself, would you want to? Like, that'd be so boring.
I'm dropping in really quick to let you know that I'm offering a completely free 7-day erotic awakening course called Living Sensuality that you can dive into at any time. Hundreds of people literally have now been through this beautiful 7-day program that guides you through simple yet highly effective 10-minute practices that you can fit into any busy lifestyle and keep coming back to again and again. These powerful explorations will start to ignite your juiciest sensuality, create inner safety in states of pleasure and self-intimacy, become more present and connected to your own body, and bring your innate eroticism and turn on back to life. I found that if you want to live a life of more pleasure and more connection, then that requires intentionally spending more time in pleasure and connection, and actually making it a priority. Just like creating space in your life for going to the gym or learning a new language or improving a certain skill set, pleasure and sexuality are also skills that we must actively strengthen if we say we want to experience what's truly available to us within these realms. Living Sensuality makes this so easy and so accessible with juicy practices that, again, are only 10 minutes, because I wanted to make sure that you receive the best of the best minus the fluff. So go to bloomwithnadine.com/living sensuality to get started for free today and join the movement of erotic liberation and ancestral healing. Now back to the episode.
In my experience, becoming self-actualized, and I'm not saying, oh, I'm fully self-actualized. It's a fucking work in progress, honey. It's a lifelong journey. But the version of yourself who is so empowered, so expressed, so freely loving, that doesn't mean that you have to eliminate any part of yourself, any emotion, any fear or thought or part of the human experience. It is a journey of releasing your attachment to all of the false identities, and it's returning home to that essence that I was describing before, of this ancient soul, this wise, loving, eternal, conscious consciousness, this soul within you. It is repeatedly, moment to moment to moment, letting yourself return home to that. And it really is an ongoing, lifelong practice. And it's letting go of our firm, desperate, grasping onto for dear life attachments to everything that we're not. You are not your fear. You are not your anxiety or your depression or your jealousy or your judgment or whatever is the thing that you think is wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. I wish I could just like drill that into all of your heads. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. There is nothing wrong with you. There is nothing wrong with you. And I mean, I've been thinking about this for a long time, but especially recently, it is just so, so, so wild how incredibly susceptible and absorbent we are when we're little. And like all of these experiences that we have just like layer on top of each other again and again and again, and like start to lock in our perception of who we are and how the world operates around us. Like, let's say, and it's such little things, you know, like let's say you're a little kid and you're in class and you are just having the time of your life with your best friend and you're laughing hysterically and you're playing. And let's say the teacher scolds you and yells at you and says, stop being so loud, you're being disrupted, you have to separate, sit over there in the corner, stop laughing so much, you know? And like, and so many people have this experience. And in that moment, that's teaching you so many things. That's teaching you, like, it's bad and wrong to be fully joyful and expressed. It's bad and wrong to be having the time of my life. It's bad and wrong to fully express my joy and my laughter and my love. Another really common one is, like, we carry this story that it's not safe or it's not acceptable to fully express the love that's within us. I believe personally that every single person on this planet, no matter what, like, if we are living in our true essence, we are so loving. We are so loving. We've been taught to only think it's okay to be loving if that love is received in a certain way. And this is something that I just went really, really deep into with a client in a session that we just had, and it was so beautiful. And we explored, like, what does it look like? What does it feel like? What does your reality get to be like when you, being the version of yourself who is so incredibly expressed and giving and affectionate and loving, like, what does that look like to receive nourishment and safety and fuel and satisfaction and fulfillment simply from the action and the process of being loving, instead of thinking, like, me being loving is only worth it if it's received in a certain way? And that's where I get that momentary sense of satisfaction before that fades away. And then I start being anxious again, and I do another thing with the unconscious goal to obtain a sense of love or safety or belonging. And so many of us are, like, running around. I don't love this analogy, but we're running around with, like, chickens with our heads cut off, just, like, frantically, desperately trying to obtain a sense of love, a sense of safety, belonging, acceptance, validation. And we're doing all of these things, and we don't realize that that instant gratification, that doesn't nourish your soul. That doesn't quench that thirst. Again, as I was describing before, the more you reconnect to that wise, loving, ancient, ever-present, eternal soul within you, that consciousness, that's when the thirst really feels quenched. And that's when you feel so energized and nourished and, like, filled to the fucking brim. Not because someone gave you a certain reaction or gave you a certain validation or received your love and your words in a certain way, but simply from the act of being your full, true, authentic, coherent, congruent expression. What if you just being genuinely, authentically loving was enough to nourish your soul? And it was enough. And it doesn't matter if that person ghosted you, didn't text you back. It doesn't matter if it's received in a certain way. It's simply loving for the sake of loving. Simply loving because it feels fucking true. It feels authentic. The greatest, like, most regenerative, sustainable sense of vitality and wholeness and inner, like, integration is when you are congruent, which to me, like, authenticity and congruence, to me, they're synonymous. And what it means is when your inner experience matches your outer expression. There's no more mismatch there. There is no more feeling the need to shame it or hide it or diminish it or make it something that it's not. It's when you feel safe and secure and confident and loving and just anchored in yourself enough to freely and openly express whatever is within you, which for so many people can be scary as fuck. Again, because we've over time been more and more taught that our sense of love, safety, and belonging is dependent on the reaction of the other person, instead of harnessing and cultivating that within ourselves, that, like, the love we're then expressing is coming from overflow. It's coming from a place of, like, it's just real. It's just honest. It's just your truth and your authenticity. So of course you're going to express it because it feels like it's pouring out of you. It's an extension of you. It's emanating out of every fucking pore of your being. And that is my wish for everyone, is to feel rooted, anchored, secure, grounded within themselves, that we no longer filter ourselves. We no longer fear, oh my God, I can't express this thing, I can't say this thing, I can't be seen for all of who I am, because what if I'm rejected? What if I'm abandoned? What if I'm ostracized? Whatever the story is. So many of us are holding on to those stories, including myself. I'm not exempt from this. I'm very much still here with you in the trenches, okay? Very much still incredibly human. And life, especially relationships, are very confronting, and they bring up all of the parts of ourselves that we don't want to look at. All of our mommy issues and daddy issues and childhood wounding, all of that shit comes up almost right away when we're in relationships. All of it. Okay, so let me know how this is resonating. Let me know if you have any questions. Unless if something else magically comes up for me that I feel like expressing, I might leave us here. I might land this plane here. And I also want to share that I have a really beautiful, exciting offering coming up. It's in New York City. It's a one-day immersive retreat, and it's a sacred sexuality immersion for women, where in a brave, intentional, conscious setting, you're going to be guided to connect with everything that I just expressed today. You're going to connect with that deep sense of being anchored within yourself. And we're also going to explore your erotic expression, your sensual power, your sense of self-love, self-acceptance, and like radically celebrating your body, your eroticism, your sensuality, because I believe that our personal development and healing journeys are not complete or holistic if we're choosing to ignore the massive part of ourselves and our lives that is sexuality. Your sexual energy is life force energy, creative energy. And I know a lot of fucking women on this planet need to not only hear and know, but feel in their bodies that their pleasure and their sexuality is theirs. Your sexuality is yours. And yes, you can choose to share it with other people. You can choose to be seen in it and express it and co-enjoy it with other people. And at the end of the day, it's yours. It's yours. This shit makes me so emotional because, oh my God, like, this work that I do with women means the fucking world to me. Like, it's everything to me. I can't even express it. Oh my God, am I gonna cry? I don't know. One of the many reasons why I work in the realms of sexuality is because it is so taboo, and there is so much shame and guilt and fear and manipulation and distortion and trauma and conditioning and all of this bullshit attached to it, that we disconnect from the truth of our sexuality, which in my experience is one of beauty and innocence and truth and love and divinity. When you feel at home in your sexuality, when you reclaim it as a core aspect of your power, ooh, does that ripple out into the rest of your life? When you can feel whole and secure and rooted and confident and beautiful and divine during sexuality, that ripples out into how you walk down the street, how you feel when you look at yourself in the mirror, how you touch your skin, how you pleasure yourself, how you make eye contact with other people, how you deal with money and how you feel about money. Your confidence in asking for a promotion or asking for a raise. Your confidence in really believing in yourself and trusting yourself and fucking valuing yourself and feeling yourself as inherently, untouchably worthy. Because sexuality is one of the most tender, intimate, vulnerable, exposed areas of our lives on every level, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, energetically, every fucking level, relationally. It's so vulnerable. So I said it before and I'm going to say it again. When you feel connected and present and you no longer relate to your sexuality as something that needs to be like a performance or needs to be a transaction, like, oh, I give you my sexuality, I give you my sensuality in order to receive a false, fleeting sense of love, safety, and belonging or validation. When you really start to feel at home in your sexuality, it oozes out of you like magnetism and radiance and beauty and just becoming more and more and more and more and more and more of yourself and who you truly are. It's the most beautiful thing in the entire fucking world to witness. And I can't even put into words how genuinely honored I am to do this work. And the fact that my soul chose this path in this lifetime, it's the greatest gift. It's so beautiful. It's so raw. It's so tender. It's so delicate. And I fucking love it. So if you're interested, join us. You get to reflect on everything that you desire and want to step into and fully claim going forward. And it's going to be a rebirth. I hope you're fucking ready, because I am. So either send me a DM or go to the link in my bio to claim your spot. I would love to have you inside. And definitely let me know in the comments what you got out of this Instagram live. It really feels nourishing to me when this platform is not just one way and it's like an ongoing dialogue and a back and forth. So yeah, let me know. I'd love to hear from you. I am wishing you love and nourishment and the truest, rawest, most genuine and fulfilling expression of your soul that you could ever imagine. That's what I fucking wish for you. Take it or leave it. Okay. Love you. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to The Sensuous, the home for real, raw conversations about sex, love, relationships, power, somatic healing, spirituality, and fully owning our human experiences. The absolute best way to stay connected and receive the most powerful teachings and offerings is by heading to bloomwithnadine.com/newsletter to sign up for my email list. It's also incredibly supportive if you take a minute to tap the follow button and leave a rating and written review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. This really helps more beautiful souls like yourself discover this content. If you resonated with the episode, definitely make sure to share it on your social media and tag me at @BloomWithNadine. Send it along to your friends, lovers, and family, and keep listening to more episodes. Let's spread the word about these taboo yet essential discussions. I love and appreciate you so very deeply, and I'm celebrating you for making it to the very end of a podcast episode. Congratulations. I hope you do something to honor your inner sensuous creature today. Thank you for being here.